Welcome to the Esports Business Network podcast. I'm your host, Trent Knox. I'm the founder and CEO of Esports Business Network. This is episode number 23 of the EBNP. Our guest is Brunos Luis Silva, the Chief Executive Officer and Product Manager for LAG Mobile Esports. Bruno established LAG Mobile Esports to draw more attention to the market segment of mobile esports by establishing and participating in tournaments in his home country of Portugal. LAG Mobile Esports is an international esports organization that is representing players, streamers, events, geek, nerd, and gamer culture around the world. In this podcast, we get to know Bruno's history in gaming, chat about different international gaming experiences, and what the future looks like for mobile gaming. Enjoy.
This is the future. Evolution. This is the future.
Hey, y'all, it's Trent Knox again with the Esports Business Network podcast. And today, my guest is Bruno Silva of LAG Esports. Welcome to the show, Bruno.
Thanks for having me, Trent. I've been following you for so long, and you're doing a great job. So it's been an honor to be among your list.
So yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So you're doing a great job. Great job. So I'm very happy to be here.
I really appreciate it. Those are really kind words. And you know, we were able to connect over Facebook recently, and I'm sure that you've been an active member of the Facebook group, and I really appreciate everyone who's been contributing in the Facebook group and come over to Discord and, you know, is following everywhere that they're following. But number one, it's not about me too much, and it's not really about EBN. It's about the businesses that are in esports and how we can share resources and work together and make this industry bigger. But before we get in all the way deep into LAG esports, mobile esports in general, let's talk about gaming. When did gaming become prevalent in your life?
Well, if I can recall and remember, since 12 years old, in my young age, when I used to go to my neighbors and play there with him, in his first Spectrum. Then after about 3 months, I got one too. So games like Shinobi or Bomberjack and things like that we used to play, and was a fun. And then later on come many others, like on 64 KBS Hyperbytes with other games too. So even PES, I think, I remember a younger version, we used to even kind of esports in a friend's house too. We will play like soccer in Europe, you know, ones against others, like tournaments, and we will have fun, of course, about it. Then later was all about even Commodore Amiga, the first five quarter diskettes, that almost a A5 page size diskette. I remember to play Sid Meier's first Pirates, the strategy game, and also discovery game, adventure game. Then later got my first PS PlayStation, play some demo games and etc. Even when I was doing even the Timex, for example, 64, I used to use cassettes, what was a patience, and do that annoying noise to the game come in and log in and start to play. I used to later learn even how to code some my own games with it, and was fun because I even record tapes and sell to my friends. Was kind of micro market, business market in that time. So later on was I passed to consoles and Pentium, played Prince of Persia, and other games, and keep carrying on doing my own life things. Like I was doing a course graphic designer at that time, and I used to play Civilization and the Age of Empires. This is in the old Pentiums. There was the internet almost didn't exist at that time. Was very much eternal. Oh my God! Sorry, my language. I want to speak many things in the same time. So it was Ethernet, all computers connected to each other, but no outside of themselves. So was fun times, and you know that young energy when you feel when you are young of discover your mind, doing all the maths as possible to win the game. And then arcade, and then consoles, and from consoles I stay quite while. Getting then my second console, and later in already when I used to live in UK, and then I play in PC. I used to have a Medal of Honor, and then MAG, a very old game that is lovely. And then in PC again in Second Life. If you ever played that game, you could script your own things, and we used to do RPG tournaments, swords and things like that. It was fun with the Brazilian players as well. It was very much fun, all connected. Then later on, when I came to esports, was Science Guns of Boom, the first, if I'm not mistaken, the first mobile platform doing an official tournament, when I integrated a Turkish team that time and I went in competition with them. And then I started to pay attention, more attention. And while I was working, used to work in my proper job in many hours, so I didn't have time sometimes. But when I had the time, I will come to play our PlayStation or even mobile. And in the mobile, when I start really to pay more attention to esports and start to learn about it, this goes back to 2014, 15, I think, if I'm not mistaken. I cannot record well, but was around that time and or a bit above that I start to pay more attention to mobile esports. Or esports cool. itself. Sorry, the long, very long.
I was very interested in your stories about the old Pentium days, and I don't really hear a lot about people's different experiences who've been competitive video games before the internet existed. I think a lot of people remember more about the initial days of online gaming more than they remember the earlier days, because the earlier days were really complicated, of course, to get everybody in the same place and get tournaments set up, and especially I perhaps understand, like in Portugal, it was really hard to set up these sort of things. What are you, I ask a lot of the guests what that are international guests, what, how did you get games? How do you, what were you doing? Were there places?
Portugal is not a uncivilized country. Portugal actually have a big history in the world. We discover Brazil. Brazilians speak Portuguese. Angola speak Portuguese, what is in Africa. Timor, Mozambique, many other countries, even Philippines used to speak Portuguese, you know. But this goes back to Portuguese history. We probably start globalization, but we don't care if we can take credit on that or not. We just live as we need to live, under the same sky. As an American or a Chinese or whatever, is the same proof for everyone. Nowadays, more even, because the internet brings that networking, we can learn with each other. As you see, I speak the English. Ain't not so bad. Took me years to learn, but I done it. But writing is not so good, but I keep learning every day a bit more. And I'm in terms of old days and things like that is more because I don't want to not be modest, but I kind of have a good memory. I remember many seconds and everything of all that stories that I went through, you know. Yeah. So that's my memory. It works. So it was even an arcade. I cannot remember the game. We used to put the coin, and who lose will pay the next round. Understand what I mean? When was two players in the same arcade game, for example? So getting games in Portugal was not difficult. Not even now. Not even in old days. We are the oldest ally of Great Britain, for example. So we get everything from England straight away, or South Africa in even older days, you know. So, we probably late to sometimes 1 year in that old times from other ones, but 1 year is nothing, you know. Now, everything gets to us quick as possible in a question of probably minutes, if not seconds, because it's global. Internet makes that bridge for everywhere.
Absolutely. So, Portugal is a port country, right?
We open the door to the Atlantic Ocean, of course. Yeah, it is.
Right.
It's
so,
a port country, yeah.
Yeah, I just wonder sometimes because I've spoken with people in Brazil, Australia now. And it's a little bit harder to get hardware when it comes to PCs and stuff like that. So
not so much. Australia is that hard? I don't believe. They have Japan just next to them or China. Well, I'm not discrediting your words or whoever told you that, but really, really seems difficult. They don't get the hardware there. About the other country you mentioned, I forgot.
Oh, I was just Brazil. Saying, like, Brazil.
Well,
yeah. Argentina.
Argentina, maybe, because they have some issues, economical issues in the past that probably still exist consequences of it. I'm not sure about that. We have a member of our team who's Argentinian, and it seems like having everything as hardware, he lives now in Brazil. But he's been recently doing a video edition because he works for a company who assists TV programs. And he seems like to have to get any hardware. But in Brazil, he's very heavyweight in the mobile sports because everyone have a mobile and they go for it. He's one of the icons on mobile esports at the moment. But go on.
Yeah, no. I associate it mostly with socioeconomics, like you just talked about, you know, and distribution, infrastructure, so many different things. But obviously, it varies based on your socioeconomic status within your country.
Yeah,
you know, you probably
could
get anything you want without, you know, money. You can get whatever you want. But
let me just interrupt you on that. Even in Africa, for example, when my father been in Africa. He been managing a factory there. Even the people there, and it was war times, they used to have access most of the times to the new technologies that was coming to Portugal straight away, going to, for example, Angola at that times. We're talking about 1999, for example. They used to, like a few months later, like 3-4 months later, they used to have access to new technology. So that is a might that countries that are poor or this, they cannot have new technology on them. For example, I give you an example, some Asian countries, and I work with some Asian people in England, they used to buy in England and send to their own countries like Bangladesh. Understand where I'm coming from. So people there will receive through their families, and there are many, many doing this. Many, many doing this. It's just one example how it works, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead.
It obviously the experience is is varies country to country. So that's mostly, I guess, where the question comes from is everyone has a different experience, you know, in their process of, you know, going to a big box store or their family getting them into the gaming industry, you know, so it all kind of varies. But yeah, so you spent time in the UK as well. Was that during your what period in your life did you spend your time in the UK?
Between 2000, I've been there in 1999 to 2000, first time, and really love it. Apart of the weather is crappy. Sorry to the English people, but they already know it. They live that day by day. But I love the people. I love, like they say, oh, food is not good. That's a myth as well. That's a lie because there is plenty of various types of food you can have, healthy food, etc., etc., etc. I worked there and it was a lovely experience. I make good friendships. But, of course, experience is not the same for everyone. Some have bad experiences as well. So I make good friendships, some even correlated to game industry. One of them is going now to Thailand to open his own game industry to make games, mainly in mobile, for example. And he's a British guy and he's a very good friend of mine. So a part of even, I can tell you, the guy I've been helping to promote a bit, and we now going for a big project, then I cannot talk about it in mobile at the moment. In the future you will learn about it. He's a British guy, is a very good friend of mine, and he's one of the best streamers and casters of tournaments in mobile gaming. He's my magnum, and his name is Russell. And you should have him because he's a 40 years old guy who have a lot of experience as well in esports, and he's having even probably a bright future with Garena. Let's see. So my best wishes for him, but we have projects in common. We will work together on that. But go on.
No, absolutely. You know, I was asking about
take a moment to promote him, but he is really an icon. You will love. I will one day or these days I will share one of his streams. He's already a partner on Facebook as well, and you will see how great caster of tournaments is. He's a pro proper and pro one, so you will love to enjoy to listening. So go ahead.
No, absolutely. Very cool. That's the reason why I asked the question about your time spent in the UK. I was interested in, you know, networking and things sort of this nature. So it's a great, you know, great example of how gaming brings us together.
Without borders.
Absolutely. And so after you've spent some time in the UK, you've now, you're back in Lisbon, right?
I had to take a big decision and leave my job, what I used to do. I used to love it, even what was around airport security, more specialized in escorting people to their own countries, or even a bit of bodyguarding. Because my father got sick, I had a son with verbal autism as well. So, but it's life. We need to take care of them. Sometimes our more family is more important than money. Time that I didn't have before, I start to gather and I start to make my maths. What I gonna do? I always love to gaming. So let's do it. Why not? So I build LAG Mobile Esports. And it's focused mainly on Code Mobile, but we have a team on LoL as well in mobile. And we have a team on Free Fire. Now it's slowed down because I cannot manage to deal with everything in the same time. Plus, being a player for my players, what is the guy who do the network, who do the business, who get the sponsors, etc., etc., etc. So sometimes you need to rely one on another person who can volunteer work, because start on there and start gradually working into a business. That's how it works. So go on.
Yeah. How did you get started? What was the first idea that you were going to make LAG Mobile Esports? What inspired
you?
Well,
let me say a bit of history. I start on in England on first platform. If I'm not mistaken, I think I already said this. Guns of Moonwatt was a cartoonized game, but it's first-person shooter. And I entered a Turkish team. At the time, I create my own one first, and then I make a Turkish friend, and we went to competitions. But because my decision to come to Portugal, I end up to leave the game and take another ways before I take back again. Then, funny or not, was my ignorance. I downloaded Free Fire, thinking it was PUBG on mobile, you know. I'm a big follower of Stone Mountain, and he used to play promote a lot and do PUBG. You know Stone Mountain 64? I think you know it. He's a huge streamer. So I downloaded Free Fire by mistake, but straightly I done some good friends there, and I built a clan there. And I took a year to play and learn and so on. After a year, we went to competitions. Was good in that in the following year I entered in organization of a tournament that becomes me official, what was a presential tournament. People went for that tournament in Lisbon Games Week, and I helped in theory to organize, not much in practice, but I give good advices to for the practice to the team. And they work, and was the first event, tournament event mobile in a big games event, what is in Lisbon, in our capital in Portugal. And was the first mobile esports event made in Portugal for the first time. So then I enter in together also in a federation as a member, one of the first national gaming federations. And then when Code Mobile, always loved Code, Mobile was about to come out, I left Free Fire because Free Fire is good in Asian market, in Brazilian, South American market. It's big, it's titanic, although it's not have the international spectrum like America, Canada, Australia, UK, Germany, Netherlands. Free Fire is not well played there, but is played in the rest of the world. But I want a game that is played everywhere. So I come and I built straight away LAG Mobile Esports, what means Lusitanian ace gamers. That's why you see in the logo the skeleton and the ace symbol. That's, and I start to build the project. Science is now 1 year, even before I already created the page, what is 10,000 followers now in Facebook. We have some following in Instagram. We even get built Guilded. We are in Discord. But due to many things in the in my bare hands, I cannot take care of everything. Otherwise, I will love it to expand even to Twitter, to Reddit, to all possible networkings, even take care more of other gaming platforms. Sorry, my father is
right. Absolutely not.
Go ahead.
Oh no, I think that's really cool. And did you ever spend any time before creating streams for Mob Crush?
Mob Crush, not because what's happened? We used to have streamers, but because when you are a streamer, you tend to do work for your own self, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not all the streamers; it's hard to stick a streamer to your brand or to your clan or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. So the thing is, they think by their own buttons and they want to follow their own path. I cannot control everyone, and it's not for me to do that decisions for everyone. What I try is to even mentoring them, some that are new, or even older, bring them ideas, because my mind is always full of ideas in some work. Although Mob Crush, not yet, but maybe in the future. Maybe in the future. Why not?
Yeah, you talked about you know, building up your platform on Facebook, and Phil Ranta was the CEO at one point in time for Mob Crush before he joined onto the Facebook gaming team. So I was wondering if you kind of, you know, if that was an influence on you building your mobile gaming esports brand on Facebook.
No, my influence come more, let's say, CSGO. Apart than never played CSGO, all been reading about it. I'm a good reader. I read everything as I can. And I'm a quick, very fast learner in what are science economics, about esports, science information, science, new hardware gadgets. Let's say in mobile phones, you have great mobile phones. I comment this mobile esports will take somehow over their place in a mountain too, you know, because the hardware is progressing so fast, and you have today's a Red Magic with 12, 16 gigabytes with great processors. They go fast. They have frame. You can move frames instead of only 60 frames per second, go up or much upper than that. So Red Magic, Rogue Phone, Black Shark, all the type of Snapdragons can do it. And I believe myself, do the jigsaw puzzle, mobile phones by 2028 will be a big thing in the market. Plus, plus the niches and many opportunities that are not monopolized by the market itself, that will grant for the people who have the hard work to build them, you know, to make it grow even bigger. Around, let's say, you have the one industry, and then you have all that small bubbles, what depends, depending on the industry. But also the big industry depends on the small bubbles to coexist, let's say. So did I miss anything in your question? If I miss...
No, it was no, it's just about your influence into getting into...
Let me come to that topic. My influence come exactly by learning do what some streamers do. End up, let's say, you have Loud in Brazil, what is managed by Bruno Playard, one of the biggest Brazilian guys. It's not because Bruno, like me, is because he is talent to build a team, a clan, and a brand. That works and is a company where he pick the best streamers and put playing together for being in official tournaments of Free Fire, for example. This is one of the examples I take. Then I have Fnatic, I have G2, I read a lot, and I think by 2028, you will see huge pro players as you see as the CSGO players in the mobile phone.
I agree.
So I agree. That's I see. Where I think I'm thinking forward. My mind thinks always forward. I know sometimes people, oh, but that's a mistake. Is having hope, expectations. Sorry, if you don't think, you don't dream, and you don't work about the dream, nothing is possible. When I say see people saying, oh, you're not here for the money. No, everyone. At the end of the day, everyone wants to do what they love to do and earning the money to support what they do. That's how it that's how it goes. So go ahead.
No, I was going to say, have you been talking to a lot of French people in the industry? Because it seems like they have a lot of complaining. But no, I think
that... Complaining about what?
No, never mind. It's a bad joke. Never mind. And I was going to ask you this. I was going to say, by 2028, do you see the versatility? And one of the reasons why the popularity will grow is because the the mobile devices will be more versatile and more.
Let me say something that I
need to use the laptop.
Let me say something right now. What I took from Newzoo, because I'm following them as well, in their stats, in their information, 2/5 of population already owns, worldwide population already holds a smartphone. Mm-hmm. Do the math. Do the math. Is what I say. Although we'll open space for cross-platform gaming. Of course, it's already existing between PCs, emulators, and mobile phone. Already exists, but doesn't exist yet through consoles. But I believe by that time you will have all the platforms coming together to play as one. Understand where I'm coming from. Mobile phones just need to bit of more evolution and progress in hardware and software to get there. You even nowadays in a very good mobile phone you can play a Last of Us, let's say, a bit laggy, but you can do it. For example, a big game, let's say. Understand? So I have no doubt that what you want is to have a computer in your pocket that go everywhere, or with you, or have some on top of the table, or is a big square thing that is difficult to carry on. People go for easy nowadays, and we need to have that perception. So mobile phone is easy. Some say, oh, mobile phones, that's another might, are not good players because they play with fingers or triggers or whatever. Well, I have a member who have one hand, and is the best sniper I know. He's a handicapped man, Ebon, and he's the best sniper I know. So that is another might. So we are here. We need to accept the future. And the future will be what we pretend to see the future. Of course, some of people will disagree with my opinions, but I go for facts. I try to, like I said to you, jigsaw the puzzle and try to see what really works. Go ahead, Trent.
No, absolutely. I think that versatility, first and foremost, will be lead us in that direction. I think modularity. So, you know, while you're out and about, you know, and even to the degree of being at a tournament, you know, ownership comes into play when it comes to mobile devices.
Let's say, sorry to interrupt you, I forgot this bit. Last and first, as an example, I know about others. Other platforms, but last and first, Call of Duty Mobile tournament price pool was $1 million, the official one. Amateur tournaments I know about, some go for $10,000, some $6,000, some $3,000, some $1,000. $1,000 is the most average, most known tournaments. For example, Magnum do tournaments of 1,000 and is getting back support. And they do share a wonderful charity work for a disabled foundation that place disabled people gaming, you know, with different mm-hmm. hardware. What is wonderful to see their work. But go on. This was just a detail. Go on.
Yeah, and absolutely no, I agree. Accessibility to games and people that have physical disabilities being able to utilize them. Mobile gaming is going to bridge the gap in many ways there. I don't think that mobile gaming diminishes the value of console gaming or PC gaming. No. It eventually will be all of part of one ecosystem like you were mm-hmm. speaking about earlier. Mm. It's all based on innovation, modularity.
When I said we mobile will reach, I don't saying we will be the biggest or will take over everything. We will take the mobile industry in esports and gaming will take over their own place for sure, mm-hmm. and will be among the stars with the PCs and consoles without doubt. This is clear as water is. Go ahead, man.
I think another way to say it is to say that the growth, it'll grow with over time and gain a larger market share than it currently does, just because of accessibility reasons and things like that we were talking about. It just needs to become more adopted, you know, and as a matter of fact, mobile is the largest growing, you know, esport that's out there. And yeah, it just has to, you know, more tournaments, more public events, more online features and ways to track mobile operations. And that's growing as well. Like it's like you said, that you have a person in your network, a colleague that is a game developer moving to Thailand, you know, that's just one story of people developing for mobile. And there's got to be hundreds of thousands out there of people developing tools specifically for mobile that maybe they will in the future, but they're not cross, they don't go on console and also on PC. And those people, the people that are dedicated to mobile are going to be innovating at a much faster rate, in my opinion. That's just what I'm seeing. The consoles, next generation consoles, just seem to be, you know, having an incredible, it's in some ways the exclusivity of consoles is preventing its growth.
Let's see, for example, the sponsor of Call of Duty Mobile tournament, official one, was Sony. Sony just releases new brand gaming phone Legion, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sony owns also the PlayStation. Do you think they are just in a box of shoes, not thinking to expand to another market? They have eyes, big eyes on it. So this will be as well in their targets, market targets, of course. There is no doubt on it.
Well, I think more of what I was mentioning is that there's less competition in the console space than there is in the mobile device space. In the mobile device space, there's a drive for innovation because there's many manufacturers, there's many developers. And for the console space, there's really only two people at play. Well, three: Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft, right? There's not a lot of platforms to develop for. Whereas for mobile games, you mentioned a couple of you know, outliers out there, Red Magic
Azos Rogue Phone. There is plenty of Black Shark. There is plenty of them.
Even Black Legion, Shark, right?
Yeah,
those two devices are for people who are unfamiliar with mobile gaming, that those are kind of outliers. They're sort of niche, even though they're some of the higher end devices out now. But yeah, the mobile device, there's so many options, whereas there's very little options when it comes to consoles. And so I see mobile gaming providing a broader avenue for new players to get into esports versus consoles, its console counterpart.
Yeah, and about esports itself, I see very nuclear and core monopolized groups, what is the solid PC areas. But when it comes to mobile sports, you have a entire world trying to open their eyes and trying to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's an open space of plenty of niches and ideas that can be exposed and active in the market and become business, you know, before it becomes all monopolized in the future. You know, soon as it's monopolized, that is over. You are there or you're not there. That's how it works, the world. It comes to be a business all the time. So go ahead.
No, absolutely. And so with some of these titles that really offer a lot of value, like Call of Duty Mobile, Free Fire, what was PUBG before PUBG got banned?
I give you the names: Free Fire, PUBG, Call of Duty Mobile, LOL, Arena Valor, Mobile Legends, Clash Royale, Brawl Stars, and so on, so on, so on.
You mentioned League. Did you mention League of Legends? They recently did the partnership with Apple. I'm curious, what do you
Oh,
foresee?
about partnerships. For you see, Garena Free Fire or Garena just done a partnership with Google for the next Brazilian event or tournament official event in Brazil, for example.
Right.
It's just it's like that one. You must go ahead,
Yeah,
yeah.
absolutely. Well, we're st I think it's called, is it Runes of Runeterra, or am I saying this right? League of Legends has done a partnership with Apple for their new iPhone 12, and do you see,
That news I'm not aware of because I didn't read yet. But to talk about it, maybe I get what is the idea and then can I give you an
I think that the audience for League of Legends, and the people who are consumers of Riot Games appreciate it, because they've been asking for a MOBA from Riot for quite some time on mobile, right? So that sort of partnership opened the doors of, as it pertains to like main, or I'm going to say S tier. This is a very gamered word. S tier manufacturers like Apple, Google, Samsung. And so what do you see in the future for, you mentioned Sony even. What do you foresee with sort of partnerships with mainstream hardware developers?
Well, the world tell us the same story repeatedly many times. And if we are aware to see the history, what happens is big companies always take over of small companies. They are bubbles, and until they blow up, or if they don't blow up, they become traditional for years and years to come. But what I see is when it comes to mobile, you have plenty of partnerships with TVs. With you even have soccer, football. We call football, you call soccer. Clubs big with big name having their own esports academy, to face in a PES or FIFA tournaments. Officially, they have proper official tournaments. This is one of many examples. So, you all these brands, they are competitive to each other. Although some of them become behind the curtains to the same economical groups. So, it somehow end up to work always together to achieve certainly goals. If he's not, if he's not like that, you need to look to the story, history of Coca-Cola and Pepsi. Two brands still exist, always competitive to each other, or Burger King with McDonald's. Same goes on and go on and go on, because it's a useful and healthy competition because one push another one. You know what? It comes to the same with the brands of mobile phones, as I mentioned, Red Magic, ASUS. Each brand will make, or like iPhone or Samsung, each time one push something new, the other brand is obligated to push something else new. So it's evolution, and for me, it's wonderful that evolution, and I see that bringing always opportunities for us all to do something with
Absolutely.
more weight and value. So this is how I see. Did I answer?
No, absolutely. That's a good perspective, and I think, competition is the innovation that mobile gaming needs in order to push it forward into, a more adoptable future. So I ask this question: if you had any piece of advice for someone that's looking to get into mobile gaming, what piece of advice would you give them?
Well, depend what is the ideas, and you need to. I took my time until I rethink. I had the idea, that was clouded, you know. And until they clear that clouds, will take you time to do it. And patience is one of the things. Persistence is another thing. Like you, you keep doing. And it's known when a drip of water drops in the same stone for 1,000 years will break that rock. You know, is keep doing the same thing until with some evolutions and some innovations until it becomes a business or it becomes the dream. You know, so it works in everything in the world like this: family, enterprises, etc. So in a mobile industry, there is one thing more. You have a rainbow in front of your eyes where many colors, where you can pick the color to work the ground with. Understand what I mean? Because it's not controlled yet, you know? There is certainly things that are controlled, but there is opportunity for everyone to explore. I give you an example. This young friend of mine is a full contact fighter and been a champion, etc., etc. But he also runs a company of acupuncture, if I'm not mistaken in the term, Chinese, you know, needles and so on. But not only he has acupuncture. Sorry, my English. And he's a proper professional, and he give advices, he treats people, etc. And I come to him and start to talk about his sports and said, oh, that's interesting business. So what you can recommend me if I start to do, start to give some programs about health, about what you should eat for having a better performance in a game, how you should relax or meditate, or even how you should lay or sit, or what exercises you can do. Exactly. All is a niche. Nobody is doing. Or if somebody is doing, is not known yet. So I said, go ahead for it. I think this is a great idea. Because in the future, probably you will earning good money about it. Why not? Why not? Mm-hmm. It's just persistence, patience, faith in believing in what you're doing, you end up to do as you wish.
I agree. That's a very good, very insightful. And since we're wrapping up here, and thank you very much for Bruno coming onto the show. Where can people get in contact with you? And do you have any upcoming things that you want to promote or that you can get sponsorship or you can maybe somebody can collaborate with you?
Well, because nowadays I need to say we, but it comes to me also, between me and we are open to sponsorships or collaboration, any doubt, with no doubt at all. Although we have now, I am working with Magno in this organization to try to bring something with bigger value. But I cannot talk about it yet because sometimes secret is the soul of the business. Plus, in relation to Lag Mobile, you can just Google even on Facebook and just or go to Facebook Engine and type Lag Mobile. You will see. You can send us a message through there. Although the page is a bit with memes because we are we like to see us as young guys and keep doing some memes for the fun of the gamer, what I think is funny. And plus, we are there, we always answer the message, for example. And or you can check and send us an email on our own site, what is www.lagesports.com. That's
awesome. How it is. Yeah. Thank you very much, Bruno Silva. Joined us on this Esports Business Network podcast. Again, thank you for listening. Hey, y'all, it's Trent Knox, founder and CEO of Esports Business Network. I want to say thank you for listening to this podcast. If you're finding value in the podcast, I would greatly appreciate it if you share the podcast to your network and write a positive review on your preferred podcast platform. If you're feeling extra generous, feel free to make a contribution to our working capital accounts on Cash App or PayPal. Our username is ESPORTSBIZNET. That's eSportsBizNet on both platforms. As always, we'd love for you to join our community and platform at https://www.ebn.gg. You can take advantage of a free subscription to our bronze membership by following the directions on the homepage. Part of the bronze membership is access to our Discord server and private membership channels. The conversation only evolves with participation from esports entrepreneurs like yourself. We need to hear about your esports business to understand how we can move the industry forward as a community. You can also join the community by joining the Facebook and LinkedIn groups. An additional goal of EBN is to move the conversation forward on your preferred social media platform. So as a last note, don't forget to follow us on social media for current events, news, and other esports related topics. Follow and subscribe to Esports Business Network on social media. Looking forward to networking with you very soon.